Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you. You're cool. I'm out.
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the episode, the only episode that matters, at here at Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast, streaming live on Digital Stream Radio. You can listen live every Monday night at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. On today's show, we welcome back a guest that we've had many times on the show to help us burn and roast our dear Trish. My name is Tom, and I am your host. And as always, I'm here with my two crazy ones, starting with the roastie herself.
Hi, y'all. Nick or Trish.
And
good to be with you guys. It's Chris.
And welcome you all to
The Dish.
Now, before we get started, I'd like our guest to say hello to everyone. Welcome back.
Oh, it's so good to be here, and this is my first time in the brand new luxurious multi-million-dollar studio. It's absolutely gorgeous. You've done a phenomenal job.
Oh, it's
thank you. I've been working really hard. Yeah. Right.
Moving on up.
It's going to get better, but in case you didn't recognize that voice, that is, of course, the amazing Dave Hartman, who saves our butts every so often when we need him to come on the show and in today's case, help burn our little baby girl.
Can I ask an honest question?
Sure.
Why, Chris, did you want this so badly for your birthday? Because all day long, I'm just like really, really worried about my well-being and whether or not 101 is going to be my last episode with Gay Talk.
It was ever since that episode, that one of the ones you weren't here, where Dave came on, he's like, I really wanted to do a Roast of Trish episode. And then on our way to DC, we just played the, Nick was listening to the episode in the back seat, just like, ah! Every 2 seconds. It was fantastic. So I'm like, we should have Dave on and roast her.
Good.
Roast her.
And Lord knows, I mean, you've roasted every other drag queen that we have in New Haven. Why not Trish?
Exactly.
I'm not a drag queen. I just have multiple personalities.
I needed to make sure, Tommy, understand that a roast doesn't mean someone brought a roast. You realize that?
Oh, no, of course.
You know, we're not water and all over the
kitchen. We're not cooking anything. I mean, I'm not making pernil.
Fuck you. This isn't about me. One time.
I will say, though, it is your birthday, so we do have to sort of kind of give you a little bit of, you know.
A break? No, we don't.
Not a break.
No.
Why not? We need to burn her, too.
We got you
see,
gifts.
He's trying
we
to turn the roasty to the person across the studio.
What am I, Ann Coulter? Come on.
You well, wish.
If you put on a wig, maybe. If you put on a wig, maybe. Just a little bit. But yes, it is Christopher's birthday. So, Chris, happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Chris.
Thank you. He's like 12 now.
I'm 26.
Looks like 30, but he's 26.
Yeah, I know. 30, that's actually kind of you. 30, I'll take that. Yeah. I've had 36 before. This
that's
is a
my
word.
Age.
So we've got a very, very large show today. We've got a lot of stuff that we're going to cover. And of course, during the second half of the show, we're going to roast and burn our baby girl. But before we get started, we're just going to get all the logistics of our financials out the way. So here's a message from one of our sponsors. All right, so we are back. Let's start the show.
We're official now, Dave. We go right into our program and then throw a commercial down your throat.
That's amazing. Right?
I figured let's get it out the way before we start having a lot of fun and then totally forget to play it because, you know, it's they pay for that, so we have to make sure that, you know.
A top dollar, I'm sure. Yeah. You know. Next week's show brought to you by the 5 mile an hour hot dogs from 7-Eleven around the corner.
Yeah.
Don't eat those hot dogs.
Yeah.
Why?
They're amazing.
No.
She says don't eat them. That's only because she shoves them up her ass.
Well.
Oh.
I guess we're starting.
Wait, the roast starts. It's the next one. Okay. Sorry about that, Trish. Sorry. All right. So do you want to talk about your weekends before we get started?
Yeah, sure. I didn't really do anything this weekend.
Yeah.
Oh, that's normal.
Christopher? How's school going?
I'm exhausted. I want to go home and go to sleep and die and never wake up again. Oh, I'm so tired.
I told you not to
That's
take
just
four
from
classes.
Lifting a textbook. Not even
that history book is very heavy.
I can imagine.
I can imagine. There's a lot of history in this world.
Yes, indeed.
It is expected.
Not to mention I got a filling today.
So what kind of filling?
In my tooth. I had a cavity.
You have to make sure that you emphasize.
This is very true. I should have learned.
Yeah, because I got a filling on Friday and it wasn't a tooth.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about that later. So I went in and they numbed the fuck out of me. Like the entire right half of my head was numb. My eyeball was numb. And I was like, I have to go to public speaking class today. And I'm talking like this and I'm all leaping over. My lip was literally shifted.
That's no different from like gay talk. It's just cursive and right. It's fucking elegant.
It is fucking elegant, but in the beginning of it, I'm usually okay.
You're a big drunk. Everybody expects you to talk like that. It doesn't matter.
Not anymore. I'm boring
Novocaine
now.
Novocaine is really not going to show much of a difference.
No. You did look like you were stroking out a little bit. You have a little droop.
That's exactly what I looked like today.
So... I'll tell you a little bit about what happened today. So today, Nick and I, or Trish and I, were running around like crazy. We went and picked something up for Chris as a gift. And then, of course, we got him a cake.
Trips to the dollar store.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right?
Dollarama.
Yeah, like several dollars store. But, you know, we got him a little cake, and it's a bungalow cake from one of my favorite bakeries here.
Here we go again with the bungalow cake.
It's delicious.
What the hell is a bungalow cake?
Oh, it's delicious. It's filled with a lot of fruit, so it's got bananas, strawberries, but like real fruit, not that whole, like, you know.
Not like the people at the table here, yeah. Right?
Exactly.
I know. I was like, why would you get a cake that's full of fruit? There's so much fruit in this room already.
And I love that when it comes to Tommy, a lot of fruit is two. Like,
yeah. Well, no, it's got the cream. It's got like it's a cream custard. It's got fruit.
Because cream is a fruit now.
It's got banana, strawberries. I think there's a couple of other things in there, too.
Chorizo and heavy cream are fruits in his book. Right.
Well, listen, orange soda is a fruit, too, for him, so that's all right.
This bitch. Who invited her?
You.
Oh, great. No, but so we got him the cake, and then so I said to Nick, we're going to sing Happy Birthday, and I'm going to record it, right? So I put the camera up, I hit play, and he's sitting down here going through his school stuff.
I look like a fucking idiot in this video.
And Instagram, right? And so I go upstairs and come back down, and I'm like, oh, I got to go get glasses for our cocktail today, which we'll talk about in 1 second. And so he goes, oh, I'll come with you. And all of a sudden, I just push him back. I'm like, no, you sit down. And he goes, like, but I need a hug. So I hugged him. And out of the blue comes Trish with the cake and the candles, and we start singing Happy Birthday. And anyway, I caught it all on video. I just got to do a little bit of editing, and we're going to post that on our website.
Because the beginning of the video is so funny. You see Chris sitting in the room basically by himself, like staring at his computer talking to himself, and he's like, I think I'm getting sick. I've been super nostalgic.
No, lethargic.
Lethargic. But like, it was just so funny. He was like,
I go to college
now.
I use words.
So self-deprecating. Like in this video on his birthday, he just looks so sad. He's like,
And you hear me like, no, honey, it's not that you're sick. It's probably school and stress. You'll be fine.
Even last night, I'm sitting there like falling asleep reading from my history book, and my phone is blowing up on the fucking coffee table. I'm like, who the fuck is blowing my phone up right now? I forgot it was my birthday, so people were like saying happy birthday.
Yeah, I know.
Good story.
It is. Super busy.
Fuel on the fire.
So, David.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about your weekend.
I spent my wonderful weekend with my wonderful new boyfriend.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Mm. And what did you do?
I'm not going to tell you what we did.
Okay.
Proud of you.
We did it.
Yeah, man. All right. So let's jump into some stories. So as we all know, it is Monday. Last night was the Super Bowl. People are going bananas. Evidently, most of Philly's burning down right now because, you know, people don't know how to act, you know.
Pretty sure that started before the Super Bowl, but just saying.
No, but it's like weird because, you know, you've got people standing on an awning at a hotel that can't even support the weight of one. You've got like 30 people on it and the thing collapses.
People just
fell right into each other. It's like, it was just like, whoop, down they go.
So you heard what they did. This is legitimately true. They greased the telephone poles with Crisco so people wouldn't climb them.
What? That is clever.
Dead serious. You guys have computer things.
He
can actually look this up. It was unbelievable.
They literally greased the telephone pole so people could not get up there.
I got the press release from the Philadelphia Police Department.
Was it like the metal telephone poles?
Any telephone. Anything you could climb. The Public Works Department was out there for 2 days ahead of time just greasing it all up.
I'm going to buy stock in Crisco before the Super Bowls from now on. That's brilliant.
Yeah.
No, but it was like they're flipping
like
cars
have
over.
Jars of it next to your bed.
You know, it's actually sad that they have to do that, but
you know they're flipping cars over. They're burning stuff, like literally going into stores and just destroying them. And I'm like, what the fuck? It's a fucking Super Bowl. It's not like you had a riot or anything.
And let's be honest, the Super Bowl's really about the halftime show.
Yeah.
No, not this one. This was awful.
I haven't heard anything about it, to be honest.
It was okay for 1997.
I thought it was cute. I mean, the boy's got moves and he still looks cute and he's aged well for his age.
But I've never heard this.
But that has nothing to do with what a halftime show should be.
And I've never heard the Super Bowl halftime show be referred to. I thought it was cute. Like, usually there's more enthusiasm to
response
to it.
When you think about all these greats, when you think about Bruno Mars and what he did, and Beyonce, and you think about Lady Gaga, and you think
I really wish that Justin brought Janet Jackson back.
Like, oh, my God.
I wish they brought Prince back. That was a great halftime show. I don't think that'll happen.
Well, unfortunately not. I mean, unless we can figure out a way to get him down from heaven, if that's where he is.
Well. Somewhere.
Let's go. Let's move on.
Watch the game, right?
What do you honestly think I would watch?
I watched football. My boyfriend brought me to
a
party, and we watched the game. And
I watched.
I sat there intently for 3 hours, pretending I knew anything of what was going on.
The only thing I know about football is wide receivers.
That's not football you're talking about.
I was like, and we're not going to see
you're
nice.
Certainly not going to say tight ends.
Tight ends.
Because you haven't
receivers.
Seen one of those in
well,
a long time.
Well, we don't have a tight end here, honey. She still needs to go see Dr. Goldstein next week or something.
Can't wait.
So, no, but, and you know, and then, so I thought the halftime show was good, but it wasn't, that wasn't a halftime show. You know, when you think about, this is the world's biggest stage. I mean, this is where you really go out and you have to give it everything you've got. Again, it was cute, it was nice, and he did well, but that's not a halftime show, in my opinion.
A halftime show.
I mean, I thought he just kind of, like, was showing off a little bit. Like, I can do everything, like playing the piano.
And he can.
Yeah.
Well, he can, but I don't think it was well orchestrated.
I'd still sleep with him.
You'd sleep with anything with a pulse.
You know, pretty much.
Valid.
Did you also? I did learn, though, that football was definitely invented by a gay man. There's no way that didn't happen.
Well, think about it.
Well, I mean, otherwise,
wide receivers.
Also, why wouldn't the quarterback just start with the ball? You know, I mean, it makes
hey, that was my
no
position.
Difference at all in the game. That whole hike yeah, shit,
right?
Was,
well, that's how you start.
Awful.
But that's how you start the play.
Well,
you don't have to start the play.
The ball has to start on the ground.
They kicked it.
No, it doesn't start on the ground.
For this yes, game, it does.
They kicked the ball out. Because
that's the kickoff.
Yeah,
they
had the guy.
Look at us debating sports stuff.
No, it's not.
The coin.
No.
Gay Talk does sports. It's a new segment, everybody.
do you remember Men on Sports?
No, I don't.
Living Color?
No.
It was the best thing in the world.
Oh, my God, and I loved In Living Color. Why don't I remember
that? You don't remember Men on Sports? No. It was tremendous. Like, they kept saying, this would be such a wonderful game if it was the Rams and the Packers. You know, like, perfectly gay.
That's great.
But, I mean, it's this touchy-feely beginning to the game, you know, where, you know, you're taking the ball from another guy's crotch.
Yeah,
you know?
That was valid.
I mean, let's look at the
rules.
And
smelling his ass
in the
process.
You get the guy with the biggest ass to bend over in front of you, slap him
Trish.
On the ass so he knows you're there. Then you rest the back of your hand gently against his ball sack. And if you want some more ball sack time, you just yell some shit like, New England, blue, 42. And this is how a game starts. This is definitely invented by gay men. This is not
You know
normal.
What? Just it may have been invented by gay men, but I was the center. And I was the one that got his balls caressed. And I liked it, okay?
You've always been the center.
Yeah, we know.
Yep.
You know,
with two black guys on each end, you were the Oreo center of each one of those games.
I was rooting for the Patriots, but not because I like the Patriots or that I like football, period. It's just I wanted a fucking discount on my Dunkin' Donuts coffee. Every time the Patriots win in New England, you get a discount. Your coffee's at 89 cents, and I had to pay full price yesterday, and I was super
That's a valid point. I could work
pissed.
With that. My brother's an Eagles fan, but I could take the cheaper coffee.
Like, seriously, I was super pissed this morning when I got to Dunkin' Donuts. I was like, yeah, no discount. I got the app. No, they lost. I was like, oh, well. there goes that.
I wonder how like the mood was in York Street last night, because Gary is a diehard fucking Patriots fan. I bet he was being super cunty to everyone that was against the Patriots, and then they lost. That would have been amusing.
Oh my God, I would have.
That would have been amusing.
Poor Gary.
Nah. So. Did anyway. You also hear that, like a
we
CNN...
We can go over and torture him after the show.
Val, he's there tonight. Oh, was it a CNN employee found a Homeland Security document for anti-terrorism reports for the Super
for
Bowl?
For the Super Bowl?
They had left them. They were confidential confidential paperwork that someone left in the back of a seat on an airplane.
Welcome to the Donald Trump era. Shit is
disaster.
Left everywhere.
Something
and then they wonder
do,
how shit ends up in the news.
Nah.
You know? Then they wonder how shit ends up in the news. But anyway, the Super Bowl was okay, and I can't wait for my version of the Super Bowl.
The Puppy Bowl?
The Oscars.
Oh, duh. I like the Puppy Bowl.
It's like...
The Puppy Bowl?
The Puppy Bowl! And then the cat halftime show where the cats come out, the kittens.
Oh my God, all the dogs chase the kittens and eat them?
No!
Oh, come
on. No, it's on Animal Planet like all day long. It's little puppies, and they're like running around playing with balls.
Oh,
it's
for fuck's sake.
It's the cutest thing ever! Okay. All right. You know what? Fine. Other people find the Puppy Bowl cute.
Yes.
It is kind of cute. I've never seen the Puppy Bowl. I've heard about it.
14-year-old girls.
Right? Yep. All right. So let's kick off some stories here. I wanted to talk about, throw on the table, the situation with Larry Nassar. And he was the doctor that got convicted of sexually molesting a lot of, you know, figure skaters. Gymnast. Excuse me. We are having the Winter Olympics coming up in a week or so. So that's why I have figure skating in my head. But no, they were gymnasts, and you know, hundreds and hundreds of them over the course of his career. And so there was a father sitting in the courtroom, and he asked the judge, "Can I have 5 minutes with him alone in the room?" And he was like,
room.
Yeah. And she was like, "No, unfortunately, that's not how we do things. And, you know, you have to mind your language. We don't use profanity in the room, et cetera, et cetera." And he goes, "All right, fine. I'll take 3 minutes." And she again repeated the same thing. And then he goes like, "Well, can I have 1 minute with him?" And she was like, "No." And he was like, "Fine. Then I'm just going to," he just lunged for the doctor.
Yep.
At this point.
Kind of looks like Steve Bannon going at him right there.
Oh, it was
a little skinnier version, but.
But he lunged at him, and of course he was tackled by all the you know, the marshals that were inside the courthouse, and just went straight down for the count, and they restrained him, and he ended up, you know, I would assume he got locked up.
Yeah, but that sucks. He's going to get arrested now.
But no, he was brought back to the court in front of the judge. He apologized. I don't think he's going to face charges.
I don't think he actually attacked him. I think he tried to.
Yeah, but he never got to.
I mean, that's got to be like disorderly conduct. That's got to be a charge.
Yeah, but I also think it's like one of those things where it's,
and I'm not
so
saying that he did
emotionally
really wrong,
broken
but,
right now that, I don't know.
I can get
if I was that judge, I'd be like,
I can tell
let
you
him
this.
Go.
I can tell you this. Had that not happened in a courtroom, and that judge happened to be in public, and she was the difference between him getting to Larry Nassar, getting to that to this child rapist, I think she probably just would have turned the other way. But the fact that obviously she's a judge, she's sitting in her courtroom, she expects decorum and respect, and that's just not something that you do in a courtroom. But it's understandable. I mean, this man has two daughters. Both daughters were seen by this doctor. Both daughters were gymnasts. And this man violated his children. Mm-hmm. It's perfectly understandable that he would want to lunch for them. Shit, I would do the same thing.
We could also look at it this way. This guy's going to be in prison for sentenced to over 200 years, I believe it is. I'm pretty sure he's going to have more than someone lunging at him.
Oh.
He's going to have a lot to deal with when he's out there.
Well, I feel sorry for his butthole. It's going to be worse than Trish's after the show.
Dr. Goldstein.
So what are your thoughts on
who's Dr. Goldstein? He's an upholsterer?
Dr. Goldstein, he...
an upholsterer.
kinda.
The butt whisperer.
He's a doctor that runs Bespoke Surgical, which is a practice both on the East and West Coast. He was on the show last week to talk about his practice and what he does for the gay community. And we actually just had a phone call with his people today. We're trying to develop a partnership with
that's awesome. Dr. So what's he going to do with Uranus?
It's going to get a facelift.
Tightened.
Tightened, yep. We'll get some Botox up in there. But he's really got to diagnose first, so we'll see.
Yeah, there's a lot of diagnosing.
He wants to actually talk about it on the show,
like,
and I was like, no.
Right behind you on the screen, there was a picture of a tunnel, a car going through a tunnel. It was so appropriate.
That's
perfect.
I love the timing on this show.
It's great, you know? So anyway, your thoughts on this Larry Nassar.
Well, I think Larry would want Chris's, I'm sorry, Nick's
leave butt me out
to
of
be
this.
A little tighter, too. No, I mean, I think, I sympathize with the father. I completely sympathize with the father, and I can't, you know, imagine that there weren't hundreds of other fathers who would have wished to do the same thing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it is a courtroom, mm-hmm. and the guy was sentenced, and you can't do that. You stoop to that level, you know, but it's totally understandable.
Right. But that's what the justice system is there for.
And in this case, the justice system worked.
Mm-hmm.
I think what should be in question is whether the system worked to allow that to happen.
Right.
This is a coach. We hear mm-hmm. this stuff all the time with people who are in trusted positions, coaches.
He's a physician.
Teachers,
he's a doctor.
Well, he was doctors. A doctor.
No, I'm sorry. You're right. But I mean, you hear it with coaches. You hear it with people in the clergy. Mm-hmm. You hear it with people who are in positions of authority, that their authority can manipulate the minds of young people,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I think that's what's really tragic, that this stuff goes on, you know. I mean, this is Sandusky times 50, you know.
It's bad.
And this is systematic, and it just goes on and on and on, and it behooves people who are in positions that hire these people to know what the fuck is going on.
And, you know, one of the things
it's under that, somebody's watch.
Right.
Yeah,
right,
absolutely. But one of the things that really struck me is the courage that these young ladies had to come forward and face this person.
You know
and
what
tell
I'm
their
confused
stories.
About?
I'm proud
of when I was a kid, I don't know, until I was 18, maybe 16 or 17, my parents, when I went to the doctor, they came with me. They were in the room with me.
Yeah.
But where were these parents when this doctor was?
You got to understand,
these
kids go
to
a camp,
right?
Like their parents are in Minnesota and their children are in Texas in this camp, and they're entrusted to these coaches who has this doctor, you know, working with them to make sure that these ladies are healthy, and he literally betrayed the trust of not only those young ladies, but the parents,
no,
you know?
Even more grotesque than that, not them being, you know, on the other side of the country. There was, in the last trial he was in, where was it, like 176 women were coming forward mm-hmm. confronting this. There were stories where this 11 or 14-year-old girl was being examined by him. Her parents were outside the door, and he was fondling this fucking child with their parents right outside the door.
And that's sad.
Disgusting.
You know, but still, I mean, they allowed him to be in a room alone. And to be honest with you, to Nick's point, I think that there should be an adult, two adults, the doctor and a supervising adult, the person in charge of that person's well-being.
Well, that's why you don't have rights until you're 18, because you can't make educated decisions. Well, probably by like 15, 16, you can.
You can't form an educated sentence right now.
We haven't started
no,
yet.
No, keep it going. I'm enjoying
I'm sorry.
This.
Okay. We're not in the second half.
It just seems like it.
Try again, honey. She's done.
Gotta go.
No, your point is actually, it's so well taken. I mean, it's really, I mean, I think that's probably where it's going to go from now on. You're not going to have these training systems that are going to allow this to happen again.
No, I mean, people have resigned from boards, people in like high
positions.
Well,
those are the people that we were all talking about, that mm-hmm. these are the people who are the oversight of what's going on.
They were complacent to the whole situation.
They were ignorant to the whole thing, and they shouldn't have been.
I don't think that they were ignorant. I think that there had been speculation of the fact that this may have been going on, but it's like, you know, oh, that can't possibly be going on. They sort of kind of
one would so hope that that's not the case, but you're probably right.
If you didn't have anything to hide, why would you resign? I have a feeling that someone must have said something, you know, out the cuff and said, hey, you know, I think this is happening. And they're like, oh, I don't think so. And this sort of kind of...
With this whole Me Too movement and what, Time Is Up movement, like, uh-huh. there are reporters hunting these stories down. I mean, these stories are coming out, and they're coming out aggressively. And mm-hmm. most of the time, these boards and people that are running these organizations are given a heads up, because they need to be able to correctly deal with the situation and not panic and screw the entire organization, because it's a huge deal. Mm-hmm. So they're warned in advance, but these stories are coming out, and these reporters are tweeting out, if you have a story you want to tell, contact me here. It's that simple. They're just going. It's like they're gunning for the throat now. It's crazy.
This isn't going to end anytime soon. No, you know, of course not. We saw this months ago unfold, you know, through Hollywood and through the entertainment industry, you know, all the sexual assaults or certainly inappropriate behavior by a lot of people, comedians, actors, directors, everybody.
It needs to go to the White House, and it's not happening fast enough.
You don't want anything going to this White House.
Yeah, absolutely. Valid.
Well, it needs to go to a White House, but hopefully, well, maybe in 2.5 years, whatever.
I mean, think about it. It's like all these people losing jobs, which they very well should, and we still have this Cittolini in office who literally just bragged about grabbing women by the pussy and nothing.
You know, there's
he got elected.
Yeah, there's something weird about this whole movement, though. I feel like it's turning into a witch hunt a little bit. I think that everything that has come out generally has been valid, but there are situations within individual situations where I've seen or heard about people saying things are coming forward when that person really doesn't have the right to come forward or shouldn't be coming forward because they have acted in similar situations just as bad or not, if not worse.
Mm-hmm. So the accuser becomes the accused eventually in some situations.
It's like this snowball effect of just like, and it just feels very aggressive, like a witch hunt.
Some of it is a witch hunt, and it's not to distract from at all from those who are victims and those who are legitimate perpetrators.
Right.
But somebody made a very good point about Al Franken.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you talk about like Louis C.K., who admitted to doing all these horrible things to interns and people that he worked with, you know, and then you get to some of the other accused more in that Hollywood thing we were, you know,
Harvey Weinstein and all
of this stuff. Well, Harvey Weinstein was a fucking creep.
He's
but
a pig.
Absolute pig. You're absolutely right. That's a perfect word for him. But you do have people that are now jump. There are some, unfortunately, who are jumping on a bandwagon, you know, and you know, these claims need to be vetted, and they need to be vetted very stringently because some people, you know, what is not acceptable today was acceptable 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago.
It's different.
What was acceptable 20 years ago, what was unacceptable 20 years ago was commonplace 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there is a curve to this stuff. I mean, no means no, and that's it.
Right.
You know, and especially those people who are in positions of authority, you know, people who are in positions of power. And I don't mean politics and, you know, big business.
In general, anything.
In general, anyone who has an influence over somebody
or somebody's,
has to be
somebody's
super more
future.
Careful.
Right. If you have an influence over somebody's future in any way,
yes,
that gives you so much power.
Yep.
So, yeah, I don't know.
But you're absolutely right that these need to be vetted very properly because if any are started, if they're not, and it can become a witch hunt, things are going to slip through the cracks. And then these people that are, you know, telling the truth, that's not going to be validated in some people's eyes. They're going to say everyone's just making, or certain people are making this stuff up.
The way I heard it brilliantly explained is the accusations become the car alarms of this era.
Right.
I mean, you guys are young, so I'm looking at Tommy, who's averting his eyes from me, but Tommy, you and I are close to the same age.
Mm-hmm.
We remember when car alarms were a brand new thing.
Oh my God, that was the most annoying thing on earth.
We talked about this,
but when a car alarm went off 25 years ago, everybody ran outside with baseball bats looking for the guy breaking. Now a car alarm goes off, nothing.
You're just like, so shut up.
That's exactly what we're dealing with.
Yeah.
And you're right. You're all right. You can't allow this to turn into that. Mm-hmm. You can't allow what is becoming diluted to be less poignant for the specific issues.
That's a brilliant way to put that.
And I also worry too that you'll see people coming out and telling their story and then people following them to, you know, reiterate or support their story, not because they've been in a situation of sexual harassment, but more of they're unhappy with their current situation or they were unhappy with their situation at their workplace. And so instead of dealing with that personally and moving forward and trying to make a difference in their personal life for their professional career, they're going to attack the head because the head is already being attacked. Do you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. I mean, this goes beyond just the regular accusations. We're dealing with a rape culture in college campuses now that is unbelievable. We are still dealing with people from, in fact, more now than probably a few years ago, people in the LGBTQ community who are being victimized. And the notion that the general public has that this is just noise, this is more people complaining about yet another thing, is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's not ridiculous because sometimes it's frivolous. And those that have frivolous claims need to shut the fuck up. And we need to pay attention to those that have legitimate claims and are truly being victimized, and go after the people who are perpetrating those mm-hmm. crimes.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So I think that was an amazing discussion. Thank you all for contributing and putting our two senses into that discussion. But we have other stories to cover. We've got some time that we know. We're already 30 minutes in. We've got a story from Chris that he's going to talk about, and then I would like to give the mic to Trish because she wants to get a burn-in before we burn her. So I feel that that'll help her expel some of the energy that she has accumulated over the weeks.
I'm still 101. This is done. Okay. 101 and done.
All right. So, Christopher, go for yours.
We're going to go to Iowa for this one.
Ooh.
My home state. I was born there.
You were born in Iowa.
Yes.
Well, we're going to go ahead and talk some shit then.
You should. It was the most miserable place on the planet.
Sounds like it. And especially, this seems more and more possible now that, you know, we've had Mike Pence as the vice president for our nation for now over a year. So Iowa lawmakers are considering a couple of anti-LGBT bills, a religious freedom measure that would allow widespread discrimination, and another bathroom bill limiting access for transgender people. State Senator Dennis Guth has a history of homophobic statements, introduced Senate Bill 2154, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, this past Thursday. It is designed to give individuals a defense when accused of violations of state or local law for actions related to their exercise of religion, quote, including any action that is motivated by a sincerely held religious belief, whether or not the exercise is compelled by or central to a system of religious beliefs.
I'm super confused.
Did I say Iowa? I meant Idaho. I'm not from Iowa.
No. I'm going to smack you. Are you serious?
No. I'm from Iowa. Sadly, I just didn't want to associate myself with that mess.
Be like, yeah, no, I'm out of there.
Wait, so can you explain this to me without
all those
fancy
legal words and everything like
that? Yeah,
well, they weren't even hard words, but...
No, but it was just like monotonous, like you were talking, and I just like zoned out. So can you just like explain
fuck
it to me?
Fuck her up in the next half, Dave. Fuck her up!
Yeah, we're going to start fucking with you first, just so you know.
Oh, fuck. Okay, well, noted. All right, so basically it is one of the state senators introduced, a homophobic state senator, introduced Senate Bill 2154, which, like I said, was the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which is basically saying that it's opening the door for discrimination if you have these firm religious beliefs to back up the reasons for why you're discriminating or... showing
so it's just another religious freedom bill.
Exactly. Okay. Along with extending a bathroom bill as well. But this is going beyond just a bathroom bill. This is going to say that you can be protected if you were to if you're accused of any kind of violation on a state or local level, you can now pull out this religious freedom card in the state of Iowa should something like this pass.
Now it hasn't passed.
No, this is a proposed bill.
So Dennis Guth is an asshole, is that what you're saying?
Absolutely.
Yes. So Dennis Guth is an asshole.
But I mean, it's just interesting because, like I said, with Mike Pence being our vice president now for, well, you know, over a year, he in his home state was a firm believer of conversion therapy, electrocution for LGBT youth to try to change them from homosexual to heterosexual, which you know is not possible. But with these things that have taken
place... Depends on the voltage.
Okay. But I just feel like these states are going to continue to follow these suits. And if you look back to Waffle House Kim, you know, not allowing
her.
Fuck that bitch. You know, not signing marriage certificates for people trying to get married in Arkansas. Was it Arkansas?
No.
Kentucky.
Thank you. So these things are becoming more and more prevalent, and what do we think about these? Do you think something like these are going to be able to pass? And at one point, they're even saying that Oh, no, that's my other story. So at what point do you think this is going to go until someone's going to push it to the Supreme Court? Or how can we stop these from going into places in certain states, especially when we're not there, so we don't have a say?
Yeah, no, I don't think we can stop them. So this is going to continue, especially with this administration, pop up in areas like this. You're going to see this where there are deep-seated anti-homosexual, you know, people trying to make a difference and change what the nation has perceived as equality, right? They're trying to make it, push us back down. Mm-hmm. And so these will keep popping up. And in states like this, there's a chance that this will actually pass. So we need to, as liberal states, be as vocal as possible and make sure that we don't change, because we have to be a beacon for hope and a beacon of change for the entire nation, especially when you have assholes like Dennis Guth.
Mm-hmm. And I also think that states need to continue to follow suit with the banning of conversion therapy. Oh, and that can set a big message across
the nation. That needs to go to the Supreme
well.
Fucking
Absolutely.
Court.
Absolutely.
That needs to go to the Supreme Court.
And I think that's only a matter of time before it might get to that level.
But I think that what's going to happen with that, as far as banning conversion therapy, you've already got, like, I think it's like 12 states that are on board with banning conversion therapy. The problem with that is that if that goes to the court now, somebody sends it to the nation's high court, they're going to throw it back to the lower court, because they're going to do exactly what they did with marriage equality.
Right,
they're going to wait
right.
until at least 30 states or more have it already in law before they give a final
ruling. Here's
the
difference between that and marriage equality, though, because conversion therapy actually harms people.
Right, exactly.
Marriage equality was a movement that we needed to do for equality, but conversion therapy actually harms kids.
But then
so
again,
that's why it
physically,
does need to
go psychologically, mentally.
Yeah, and
the
I agree
sooner
with you.
Than...
But so did banning marriage equality. I mean, to say to someone that you don't have equal rights when you love someone.
We still
just
don't
as
have
much.
Equal rights.
Absolutely, but it's different than conversion therapy.
I'm not equating both. I'm just saying that in the eyes of the law, it's going to get treated the same way. The Supreme Court is never going to want to rule on something that the majority of states do not have on record as it stands.
Which is a big issue with the cake case that mm-hmm. the Supreme Court's seeing, you know, with the wedding cake, because certain cases like this are going to start being brought to the Supreme Court. So it's wondering at what point are they going to continue to send it back down to the lower courts, or at what point are they going to start to listen to these arguments, mm-hmm. especially when it comes to stuff like this.
Yeah.
How far can someone go before it's, no, that's too much discrimination?
Yeah. When we were going through the whole marriage equality thing, they used the term percolate. They want it to percolate within the states.
Of course.
They want, not necessarily that it has to pass in the states, but they want the idea to at least be seated and rooted within the people, so they understand what that step may or may not be.
It's the image of a unified front,
mm-hmm. right?
With small-minded hillbilly motherfuckers.
Exactly. I think the biggest difference, and I think you're right, Tom, but I think the biggest difference here that we need to acknowledge is that, like I said earlier, this is harming children.
Of course, it
this
immediately
is harming
poses
our
a harm.
Kids.
Yeah.
And we need to protect those kids in our community as community leaders, because parents are making the choice to send these kids to these conversion therapies
when they have no say because they're under the age of 18.
Right. So they don't have protection at home. So the reason I want to see it pushed sooner than, say, marriage equality is because I want these kids to be safe, because these parents are not protecting their own children.
So, you know, if I may, one of the things we talked about on a show a long time ago about the unity in protesting this ridiculousness at whatever level, whether it's a cake issue or a conversion therapy issue or marriage equality or the bathroom issue with transgendered people, is that we are not a huge part of this world. We're not the LGBTQ community is not as gigantic as some people in this community would like to think it is. But we are not at all the only group being oppressed.
And not at all.
No.
All right. So if you take all these all these fringe groups, minority groups, underpopulated groups, and outspoken groups, and if everybody starts protesting all of the other shit that's going on,
mm-hmm.
so if you have minorities who are raising questions about minority equality, if you are taking people who are of one group who are protesting their inequality in society, you know, with their voices, all these voices need to come together.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We need to be out there protesting you know, with women at the Women's March.
Right.
And women need to be out there protesting equality issues with blacks and minorities in this country. Mm-hmm. And blacks and minorities in this country need to be protesting along with the LGBT community. That is the unified voice.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That is all the minorities coming together, all the fringe groups coming together, the smaller social, you know, identified groups. We're the majority.
Of course.
You add us all together, we're the majority.
And that's what's scaring this administration.
One voice.
You know, that's the whole reason for a push for a freaking wall. They're afraid that, you know, eventually the minority in this country are going to become the majority. And that eventually with that comes influence, because once you start getting a majority.
And you're absolutely right, Tommy, but we are the majority.
We're
fucked up in how
fractured.
We do it. We're fractured.
We're fractured.
Exactly. Perfect
and
word.
As part of that fracture, with fracture comes the sense of that you can't really have a unified voice, because we're all too busy taking care of our own issues, not realizing that if I help you, you can help me. And like you said, it can become so massive.
But if any community can unify the minorities, it's the LGBTQ community, because we are all the minorities already. We host within our community all of the minorities. Mm-hmm. So how do we then take that and branch out and include everybody? Our community is so inclusive because we have no choice. You are who you are. Your life is who you know, this is.
Well, as Dave says, you know, we have to step out of our comfort zone, out of our LGBT community, regardless of how diverse we are as far as minority groups. And, you know, we can't slap a rainbow on everything and expect it to be okay.
Well, I mean, we can slap a rainbow on everything, though.
we can make the world, you know, happier. But like he says, I agree with him. We do need to reach out to non-LGBT groups that are going through their own version of oppression.
One voice.
And move forward.
Instead of 10 voices.
Right.
One voice.
The only thing that kind of makes me a little nervous with that, like, I had gone to a political meeting one time, and, like, you know, like you said, the best thing is, you know, when you put all the minority groups together, we become the majority. We struggle together. We become, instead of 10 voices, we become one voice. But, like, how far is it going until you might accidentally dilute your message, especially with some groups that, like, one of the things that they were saying is we need to start working with Black Lives Matter and Antifa. And as I've done a lot of research on Antifa, they are not the most peaceful group of people. So sometimes, obviously, anti-fascism, yeah, that's a great idea. But my only concern is that if you start to group yourself with some of these groups without doing complete research or understanding who they are, then you're going to lose your message when violence is
You pick and choose those. Listen, if you have militants involved in the Antifa movement, they're likely going to be so self-centered in their movement, whether it's right or wrong. Mm-hmm. They're going to be so self-centered in their movement. And we see this in the gay community too, for crying out loud. I've seen people who will, you know, you can watch something horrific going on. If it's not horrific against somebody who's gay, they'll walk right on by. Mm-hmm. All right. So we have this in every single fringe group. All right. You choose those who are willing to join you. It's still a big number. Iowa is 56,000 fucking square miles of fucking corn.
I know.
It shouldn't be a lot of effort to overthrow these fucking idiots. Oh. I know. I'm from there.
We'll sit
there. I left
when
I was a year old.
Everybody.
I would have gone sooner, but I didn't know we were free to go. But I mean, it's fucking, seriously, it's a fucked up state. It's flat and filled with fucking corn and a bunch of fucking hillbillies on John Deere's, and it shouldn't take that much to
fucking
overthrow
them. We'll make
popcorn. We can.
Riot, we go. Let's go.
You have a great idea. We're just going to send heat
exactly.
to Iowa.
And
it's just everything's going to blow up.
Just give it a couple more years. You know, global warming doesn't exist.
Make sure you put some Crisco oil.
Fake news.
Send some Crisco that way, too, because, you know, you're going to need to butter up that popcorn.
And to all my family in Iowa, love you.
All right, so we've got one more story, and then we really need to move on, because
you want to burn me.
Yes,
yeah.
I'm excited. All right, so Trisha's got a story, and this is very passionate for him. And I think that I agree with what he's saying.
Think I do, so it'll be fun.
So we need to sort of kind of tread lightly on this, right, because this is a very touchy subject.
Yeah, because we've always tread lightly here.
Should I leave?
Yeah. Exactly.
All right, so I'm going to play a little something for you.
I got it.
Oh, you have it on your phone?
Yeah, I'm going to.
Oh, so Christina Kuzmic, who runs a Truth Bomb Mom.
Solid start.
Yep. Truth Bomb Mom blog and videos. She put out a video this past week, and it was being shared within the community and our community. And I watched the video, And my reaction to it was anything but positive. So, Tommy, are you ready to play that video or
just
no?
Just give me one second.
Do you want to just
And she tagged
the...
us both in this one. So Nick was definitely prepping us, you know, listen to it, because you do feel passionate about the things you look up.
So let's listen to the audio clip, and then we'll chim in and talk about how we feel.
Yeah.
All right, so here it goes.
One afternoon, no different than any other, I'm sitting in the living room, and my son, who was 10 at the time, walks in, and he looks all serious, and he says, "Mom, we need to talk." And he even looked a little nervous. So I'm thinking, oh my gosh, maybe something happened at school. Maybe he got in trouble. And then he said, "I need you to put your computer away and I need you to really listen because this is really important." So at this point, I'm getting a little worried. Like, what is going on? Because my son was usually much more spontaneous, you know, and quick to just share how he felt about stuff. So I put my computer away and he sits down next to me and he says, "I've been doing a lot of thinking and I need to tell you something." So at this point, I am freaking out inside. I'm like, what is happening? This is obviously a very, very, very big deal. I'm painting the worst case scenarios because we moms are really good at just worrying and blowing everything out of proportion. But on the outside, I'm staying calm. "Yeah, buddy, let's talk." Because that's the only way my kid is really going to open up to me, right? He's obviously trying to figure out how he's going to say this. And he takes a deep breath and says, "Mom, I've been doing a lot of thinking. And I'm ready to come out of the closet. I am straight." So I'm like, this is funny. Like, this is really cute and funny. My first instinct is to just laugh. But then I look at him and I realize he's serious. This isn't a joke to him. And so he needs me to be serious too. Because see, in my 10-year-old's mind, this made complete sense. He knows that when someone's gay, they come out of the closet and they usually announce it first to the people closest to them. And so he figured the same rule applied to straight people. So I gave him a big hug and I told him how honored I was that he told me first. And then I said, "Buddy, I just need you to know that I would love you gay or straight, because that's not what makes someone lovable. What makes someone lovable is their heart and their actions." And then I thanked him for opening my eyes to the type of world I want to live in. A world where every kid plays by the same rules and we don't assume anything. We listen to our children and we love them no matter what. I myself have never publicly come out to you guys, so I'm gonna take the opportunity to do so now. I am straight and I hope you can still love me.
I'm going to stop it right there because that's the end, pretty much the end of the video. Trish, this is your burn. Go for it.
Keep it at like a low decibel though.
You don't screech.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't really want
to. It's kind of screechy.
It's not about burning her. I think what she was trying to do was right and solid. And what she was trying to say was good, but she didn't think it through all the way. She didn't think through the fact that coming out is something that you can never just experience.
Stop.
No, I'm not.
Liked it better when you were angry.
Let me get angry.
Okay, do it.
It's not something that you can just experience. It's, and then she comes out at the end of the video as gay and says, "I hope you can still love
straight.
Me." Or yes, as straight and says, "I hope you can still love me." Like, are you fucking serious? Like no, because like I actually got thrown down a flight of stairs and kicked out of my house when I came out. You can't fucking put it out on Facebook and say, "I'm straight. I hope you still love me," because I actually cried and I was fearful that my parents didn't love me. You made this experience that we all have to go through, which is really hard and complex, so simple, and it's not simple. And you had the option and the choice in a moment to educate your child. You needed to educate your child because, yes, he came out to you as straight, but guess what? There are a bunch of people that are in his school that are trying to figure out how to come out to their parents as gay. And you had the option in the moment to teach him how hard that would be for those kids and make him understand it just a little bit better so he could be supportive for those kids that have to come out as gay.
Well, I mean, first of all, what we're seeing is what we get at face
value.
We don't know what happened outside of that video.
And then she also said, and he thought the same rule applied to straight people.
It doesn't.
Wait. So you just boxed our entire community by saying, oh, my son, it was so cute, and he thought the same rule applied to straight people. Go fuck yourself.
Ooh. There she goes.
Okay. All right.
We made it about a minute and a half.
Sorry, but that's why it pissed me off. Like, just like she there was a beauty in her message, but the way she articulated it was incorrect.
Well, I mean, to me, and we had this conversation off air. I was with her until she felt the need to come out straight. And I'm like, there is no need for you to come out straight. Because first of all, your straight people don't know what it's like for us who have been oppressed, for us who have been put through hell, made fun of, bullied in school. She will never experience that. So the need for you to come out straight is not there. You don't understand what confines our community when we think that, you know what, we need to be fearful of telling someone who we are because we're afraid we might lose them or we're afraid we might get beat up. And so for straight people, there is no need for you to come out straight because you don't suffer or go through the same shit that we do. So as Trish said, she should have said, oh, yeah, that's cute. Yeah, no. Oh, baby. Oh, that's great. You came out straight. You don't need to, honey.
If this was for a legitimate reason, I would completely agree with Trish. I think this is a bullshit fucking YouTube fucking whatever online thing.
I think so too.
This is clickbait.
Yeah, but it's being shared around by the communities.
Of course. Yeah. And it is bothersome, all right? This goes back to, listen, when Black Lives Matter had their thrust movement at the beginning of the Trump administration, all right, this is like people screaming Black Lives Matter and some other asshole going, well,
Blue Lives Matter.
We need fucking Blue Lives Matter or cancer patients for, you know, need more support or fucking matter. Guess what? Every one of those things is right, but we're not fucking talking about that right now. We're talking about Black Lives Matter. Mm-hmm. This bitch is a liar. She's an actor. This is clickbait. She is. I'll bet you if you pull it up, if there's not a 5-second skip this ad at the front of it right now, there will be within a couple days. I don't know when it came out.
That's not her only video. She's got other videos.
I believe that. And after however many of those clicks, you start making money.
Of course.
This is bullshit. I don't think there's any legitimacy to what this woman's saying. I don't think she has a son. I think she's a fucking actor. But the thing is, the message is damning, and you're absolutely right. This is a horrible message, all right?
Oh, the last one was even worse. She was talking about how she was single, and she was, you know, she had divorced her husband, and she was distraught, and she thought she would never be able to love again, and then she found this guy that would, you know, love her for who she was and would love her son.
But did she come out to the guy yet?
I don't want
to. I don't know.
I don't want to stray away too far from this.
Here are my comfortable shoes.
I think another thing about this is, you know, my ideal, you know, what I would love to see happen in my lifetime is the idea or the concept of coming out doesn't exist. And I think she tried to touch on that,
especially by the innocence of a child. That's definitely how it started.
Right. But the thing is, the way she flipped it is she took something that is so precious and scary and
important to us,
and she used it
and trivialized it.
And I'm like, no, honey, you don't have to come out. You don't get to fucking say that. You don't get to come out. And hopefully, in 30 years, in 40 years, no child will ever have to fucking come out.
This is like a white guy singing the blues. What do you know about the blues? Fucking Banana Republic's out of fucking khakis. You have no fucking idea what you're talking about. You're absolutely right, though, Nick. This is infuriating, but I really think this is acting. I don't think there is a family. I think this is a person who's an online personality who's just making fucking money off of this stuff. I mean, who was that dumb blonde?
Kellyanne Conway.
No.
Trish.
No.
She was on Tommy Lauren. No, the one who was talking about how certain animals, she didn't know they had brains or anything like that. And I remember somebody posted on Facebook.
Are you sure that wasn't Trish?
It might have been.
But I mean, I remember posting something and somebody's like, you need to stop posting shit like this, because all you're doing is making more people click on this. You're supplying the fucking demand for attention. I don't believe this woman exists as who she is. I don't think she is a son. I think she's just a hideous fucking cunt who needs to be kick fucked.
All right. I love how you just wrap it up.
On that note,
someone's got to do it.
We're going to take a break. We need to take a break. So we'll be back. And when we come back, we're burning the shit down.
Yeah, but I see my name at the beginning of that list.
Oh, okay. Well, here we go. Here's some music.
I hate my life.
Then I would never put it down.
All right. Welcome back. And now it, well, first of all, that was Anthony Starbell. We Need to Be Loved. Love that song. It's just one of my favorites. But now we're back. And now the time has come. We have waited for this over, I would probably say, a good 6 to 8 weeks to be able to actually.
And can I just say to all of our listeners who emailed us? Fuck off.
No, required five. No. We got about 34.
It's amazing. But the time is here. We get to roast Trish, and we're super excited because we brought Dave on board to help us do that. And I think it's going to be amazing. First of all, before we go any further, Trish, we truly, honestly love you. I'm just laying the groundwork so that
101 and done.
So before we go any further, so
that's a song, right? We honestly love you. Not really.
I'm just gonna play Candy Crush while you guys are listening.
So, but before we keep going, we do have cocktails. We totally forgot about cocktails. So, Christopher, why don't you tell us what we're having today? It's an array of cocktails.
But we're lazy. Yeah. We're lazy today. That's okay.
No, not that we're lazy. We need something.
We wanted to change it up.
Yeah.
So Dave, as always, is enjoying some nice Dewars and water. Can't go wrong. Tap water from the sink. You know, real deal stuff. Real deal. He had some trouble with his sippy cup after mocking them.
Get that West
Haven.
So we'll
put that out there.
Fluoride
first.
In there.
But I kicked my chair dropper thingy. Ugh. So, but we are indulging. Trish is having a little bit of a mimosa, and Tom and I are having a wine night. We're having
who
a little...
are you kidding? She's having the whole freaking bottle of Prosecco.
Right. Well, you know,
by
splash
herself.
OJ for color, for color. And yeah. Tom and I are enjoying some Chardonnay.
Chardonnay. Yeah, it's delicious. We decided to go with wine and champagne this time around. Something different.
Different from yesterday.
Yeah, pretty much.
Or this morning. What are you having a nice breakfast wine?
No, but, and then we also have shots, of course. You know, we do, Chris does
J-Mo.
The Jameson, and I do Cafe. Nicholas does
Dubra.
Because she's nasty.
Oh, he already
the squeeze bottle.
Started.
The squeeze bottle helps.
No, he actually had Patron Silver.
Fuck you guys.
And Dave joined us.
I'm happy we're taking it easy because I have to write a paper after this. But I was wondering, since it's like college level, is it acceptable to say suck dick in my paper?
No.
No?
No, you can't do that.
Okay.
No.
Because we're talking about like gender norms and
so
stuff
wait,
like that.
So you have to
the
use...
passage where
hold
we...
on. Unless you're writing your resume or a curriculum vitae,
wait a minute.
You can't
you're directing this at
dick.
The wrong person. Wrong day. Wrong day. Wrong day. Damn it,
no,
Dave.
No, it is your birthday, so you're not exempt from any
I
of this.
I knew
ribbing.
That was going to happen. So, I thought it was going to be completely turned around, to be honest. I was like,
actually,
fine.
That's what's happening, Chris. No, happy birthday.
So listen, happy birthday, Chris. And I want to let you know.
Oh, fuck.
So wait, I tried looking up your name to come up with something witty to say, but when I read what Mattoon was, the work was done for me, all right? All right. For one, it's a town in Illinois. Did you know that? There's Mattoon, Illinois, all right? But Mattoon isn't a common surname in the U.S. Lose one T and one O, and you've got folks who settled in Maine, then Massachusetts. That's where your family is from. Coming from France originally via Holland.
This
you
is true,
this,
actually.
Right?
I did know that part.
So you know that I'm reading all the truth here.
Fuck.
However, it is also a common word in the medical field. A Mattoon is another name for a fecal impaction. All right?
Oh, so, Trish has many of those.
No, there's no impaction. That just shits all over the fucking place.
Hey, accidents happen.
God, that's what happens when you give them cheese or dairy.
Right.
Chris,
so,
this is so true.
A Mattoon is an impaction. It's a solid, immobile bulk of feces that can develop in the rectum as a result of chronic constipation. A related term is fecal loading, which refers to a large volume of stool in the rectum of any consistency, usually caused by physical inactivity. And that sums up.
Oh, my God. But I have to say, though, he's never constipated, though. You give him cheese and he'll sing like a canary.
Well, no, you know, I'll tell you this. It's like It's my like digestive system is like I take both a stool softener and a laxative at the same time. They're constantly battling.
Why the fuck is this being talked about?
You're the one who brought up Mattoons.
Yeah. You are singing an impacted motherfucker.
Singing to the tune of shit.
Thank God she's not a bottom.
Hello.
To the tune of Mattoon. Oh, you're not a bottom?
Mattoon of what?
Thank Whoa. God, honey.
Did you get the question mark in that statement? Oh, you're not a bottom?
Dave
looks so flabbergasted right now.
That's all I heard you were.
Ooh.
I believe that. No. Okay, one time someone wrote in the snow on my car, I'm a bossy bottom. But no, that is not true.
What?
Did you check the handwriting? Was it yours?
Was it mine?
I'm sure it wasn't your dick, but...
It was me. Oh, I wrote God. It on your car.
I expected that from you, Trish.
You're not easy to understand. You're
Trish said, I will take that as a compliment.
Trish said, oh, yeah. Payback's a bitch.
I mean, who could understand Chris? I mean, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to be American anymore. I want to be Canadian. Maple leaves everywhere for a fucking month.
Yay.
And then 1 month later, I'm German, freeballing in unwashed leather lederhosen for eternity.
Pete on.
Yeah. Is that rotten sauerbraten? Nein, das ist Mattoon's crotch stewing in his knickers. And let me tell you, the language you've decided to master, seriously, it's awful. It sounds like a typewriter eating tinfoil being kicked down the stairs.
Toby,
fucking
I'm sorry.
Horrible.
Toby, we love you.
I have identity issues.
Oh, yeah. You
Honey,
do.
And we thought she had multiple personalities. Lord have mercy.
And that, listen, that's come from Tommy. Looks like a rejected Shrek concept art.
Hold on, is this burn everybody on Gay Talk 2.0?
You can't just burn you.
Exactly. Is this bitch cutting on me?
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Kung Fu Panda. I mean, we're fucking seriously. We're here to... This isn't an equal opportunity rag.
She's got a mare and a cock on her shirt. That's like, seriously, personality disorder.
That's
all
a
over
horse,
your
by
chest.
The way, if you didn't get the analogy. Horse.
Cock.
There you go. Sorry, atta girl. It's
actually,
eye level to you right
I
now.
I heard it's not.
Oh, I really? Heard it is. Really? Sorry, Tommy, but I heard it is.
Oh, my God.
All right.
That was brutal.
So, listen, I'm just so happy to be on this dais, or more appropriately, a table in a basement.
What is this,
with
church?
No audience. It's a roast. You're supposed to have a dais. There's supposed to be people here.
Oh, well. It's
Yet I'm in a room with a group of people with zero artistic talent to roast someone with less than zero artistic talent. Other than every photo of him looks like someone shellacked his face like a shitty craft wood sculpture at the Big E. So listen, I'm going to say this to you honestly. Nick, you are a very handsome man.
Beautiful.
All right. But every picture of you looks like somebody just spray bottled you in the face. Why do you look shiny in photos, but you don't in normal life?
They just keep coming on his face.
Is that it?
You know, actually, that's a good question. I don't know why that is, but I do get shiny.
You do.
You
and not like anybody's handsome in this room, all right? The three of you look like a cast from Superbad, but uglier and with special needs.
Oh, my God.
I love it. I like it when they describe me to the point, but go ahead.
Oh, no, this isn't about me.
I'm kind of obsessed with Kung Fu Panda.
I know, you're not the only one. I'm totally going to sneak that one in.
In other words, what he was saying is stop face-tuning yourself. You're gorgeous.
No, first of all, it's not face-tune. I get shiny. I don't make myself shine with face-tune.
Yeah, she's bad, though.
No, I mean, you're very handsome. It's
Except
absolutely
in the morning, though.
Oh, well,
Except
I've never
in the
seen him in the
Honey, in the morning, she is so puffy and ugly, her iPhone won't even unlock for her.
Well, he went to the puffy
iPhone
stage.
X looks at her, goes like, nope, not happening.
Done.
But that's okay.
No, but you've had an amazing body transformation in the past couple of years.
Oh, Lord.
I've seen pictures when you were younger and then one when you were handsome. You actually looked so incredible. It was a photograph of you when you were with Paul Anthony somewhere. You looked like some Vineyard Vines fucking ad. It was like truly handsome, you know. But and you've come a long way from just being Sonny and Cher's daughter.
Oh, Lord have mercy, Chaz. Yes.
Listen, don't cover your face. This isn't nasty. I just said you were really handsome.
Okay, be nice.
Your mouth, though,
I didn't want her to quit.
Looks like a fleshlight attachment, I will say that. right now.
No, that's her butthole, which is going to get fixed.
I know, from your HVAC company, right?
Yeah.
That sponsored this whole thing.
I could vouch for that. Remember, Tom, I won a fleshlight at the fucking...
You did. How was it?
It looked too much like that, so I haven't touched it.
That's not true. We know you've touched it.
No. Oh, we talked about this on the show. Oh my God, I can't.
So, Chris, are you saying that you have an obsession with my lips?
No.
So you want False. To put your penis in my mouth?
Absolutely not.
Oh.
Super busy.
Okay.
Super busy. I said I got a paper to write.
All right. Well, we still got a roast Trish. David.
What, you want more?
I want more.
This is why we brought you on.
What are you, I'm supposed
you
to
think we brought you here
45?
To drink all the scotch we have in the cabinet? No. Fuck.
Hopefully not, because it's finished. And we're only, 10 minutes into the
oh
second part.
Oh, my God.
Of
this,
this
is going to be like a 2 second like roast.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah. All right. So.
No. Yeah. Continue.
All right. So
I'll add things here and there.
So, okay. To our dearest Trish, who I love dearly, but girl, can she lie? And boy, can she lie. Like the many times that you've shit on my kitchen floor, and then you go and step on it and smudge it all over the place, and then blame it on my precious babies.
She did it tonight, too.
She did. I found a big log upstairs, and it had Trish written all
it
over
was
it.
Definitely
not,
not
only
big
that,
enough
five,
to come out of that.
She spells her name out in it.
Five, right? She writes, she literally just, oh, look, chalk all over my floor. And not only that, she was taking a dump before we came back from break.
Are you turning red? Trish is sitting here like
she accidentally got a red spray can. Yeah.
You know, it's like or that time, right? Because she tells the most cutest lies, right? Like that time at the bar when the customer walked in, or excuse me, when the customer was on their way out and spit in her face, and she lost it. When really what she wanted to do was just basically bring them home and fulfill your gay orgy fantasy full of black men.
Do you want to talk about this?
I would love to hear about it again. It's a highlight of, you know, I like it at least once a year. Every 6 months would be suffice.
Let's not go there because, sir, you're the birthday boy. You still wanted those twins to cream all over your face.
I looked really chubby in that video y'all just sent us, by the way.
Oh, I saw that video.
Should I post that?
I wouldn't fuck
no,
you with...
anyway, all right. So,
you asshole.
I wouldn't fuck you with Hillary Clinton's dick.
Yeah, super busy too.
So, you know, and you know, one of the best qualities that you have is when you go off on people. We got an example of that when you went off on this poor woman for coming out straight. And I really love how you do that. But watching you go off on people is like watching Spaceballs in reverse. It's like really crazy.
Spaceballs in reverse.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, it's amazing. So. I love you. I love you.
We do love you, Trish.
Don't hate me.
It's so wonderful that you have so many nice friends, and too bad none of them could be in this room with you today.
You know, it's like, I do love her, but she's so puffy, and like, seriously, she's so puffy and horrifying in the AM that she, like, walks into a haunted house and leaves with an application in hand.
There you go.
You're like,
honey, I got the job.
You got the job. I mean, you pass all facets of the interview. It's like really bad.
You're like the end piece of a loaf of bread. Right, Everyone wants to touch you, but nobody wants you.
I love the end piece of a loaf of bread.
It's not bad, actually. I will eat that too.
Well,
all right. So wait, you just like led into the next little thing about you. All right. So let's talk about your most agonizing, annoying trait.
That's like
your voice. All right. When you get excited, normally you speak well and you know, you kind of monotone. No, you're kind of animated with your voice, but you sound like a gay howler monkey with his tiny balls clamped in clothespins.
Oh my God. Right. You know what? I just remembered that picture of the squirrel with the balls hung in between the two pieces.
Hanging from the bird feeder.
But it's as your excitement grows. So you start off kind of normal. Then you get excited. And then the shrillness and speed at which you screech talk is deafening.
But it gets my point across. Hello.
Oh, sometimes. If Anne Frank heard you, she'd Uber to fucking Auschwitz.
I can't allow that.
I'm gonna say for any of our listeners that got offended by that, you've heard Hartman on the show before. You knew what you signed up
it's
for
okay.
by listening.
You know. Sorry.
Oh my
sorry,
God.
Sorry. But here's what I will say. I really do.
The subject, are you, Tom?
No.
Please shock me, Tommy. Say something intelligent.
I will say this. I do love your determination in life. You make it a point to excel at a lot of things that you do. You know, it's like you started as a bottom and you worked your way. Now wait. You're still the biggest bottom I know. Sorry.
And somehow you still look like both the perpetrator and victim of child molestation.
That's true.
At the same time. That is unbelievable.
Don't say that because my mom is going to be like, see, I knew he wasn't gay.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Your mom thinks you're not gay?
There's no mistake.
My mom thinks my priest molested me.
Oh no.
You probably jumped on your
priest. Why have we not heard that until episode 101?
Because he's as much of a failure as his dad's condom.
101 and done. What did you just say?
Oh, we can't talk over each other.
Exactly. That was fucking good.
I will say this. It's been wonderful to see you evolve into the crazy freaking nut job that you are. And, you know, it's truly a blessing.
Indeed.
We're
blessed.
It gives us material, like, week after week to sort of kind of just, you know, let you go for it. It's amazing.
Yeah, your that cocktails wasn't a bird. Are basically holy water.
I was complimenting. But what else do you have, Mr. Dave?
I got nothing.
You got nothing?
I mean, you're all looking right at me like...
You guys, this is terrible.
He was supposed to...
I thought I was going to quit. I thought I was going to cry.
Listen.
Why are you going to quit and cry?
Because you guys are supposed to make me feel like shit.
But
yeah, I guess we didn't have it in you to really kill you.
No, I don't want to kill you. But I will say this, though. You have made such an amazing change. I mean, like, your change has been immensely huge. I mean, not as big, you know, not as big as a change as Bruce Jenner, I would say, nonetheless. But you are still on your way. You know, so.
Well, then I'll go on to. So,
what change?
Well, I'll take that. You know, my dearest Trish.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
This one's from the heart, and I mean this. You know, we've seen you grow into a beautiful, strong young lady, and since your transition, I've never seen you happier. And some of our listeners have said the same thing since that. You know, you've learned how to cope with stress and stand tall in the face of adversity. You as a woman have realized you are capable of anything you put your new ovaries to. Throughout dealing with the ever so stressful feats of life, such as work, boys, taking Stromboli on Friday night, buying a car, or accepting your lopsided tits. The left one sags a little bit more than the other.
How would you know that?
You stand tall in your heels. You will not waver at the sight of prejudices, hatred, or discrimination. You have devoted your life to helping those in need. Your dedication to this show and standing up for those in need, especially the LGBT youth of this community, will never go unappreciated. I personally can never thank you enough for all you've done for myself and people who may never have the pleasure of meeting you in person. But Trish, stay strong, stay woke, stay cunty, be you, girl, be you.
Again, I don't feel like that's a burn.
Thank you, Chris.
That was nice.
That was like the rebuttal because I thought these two were going to kill you, but it didn't get that bad.
It started off as a burn. I don't have the time or the crayons to explain this shit to you right now, but I mean, seriously. Was not a roast. I thought
I was going to be the rebuttal point because it was like the birthday guy.
Fuck her. Let's roast her now.
I'd give you a nasty look, but you've already got one.
I was trying to keep it nice.
Why?
I was the only one on your side.
Why is a crooked letter? And it can be made straight.
You know what's funny?
Listen, Kung Fu Panda, don't come at me like that.
Oh, you can't keep using that.
I want to.
So today I went to get a bite to eat at Dive.
Dollar Store.
Who cares?
Dollar Store.
Dive that we always go to. And I ordered a margarita, as I do.
Uh-huh.
For breakfast.
Yeah. Hello.
Yeah.
Whatever. But so I look over at the wall, you know, they have specials on the wall.
Uh-huh. Were you
on
there?
They had a spicy margarita on the wall, but the Y was wiped off, so it was S-P-I-C margarita.
Spic margarita?
I was like, that's not okay. You guys need to fix that.
Spic margarita.
That's fucking funny. Silence.
Yep.
Tommy, that was for you.
I will cut her. Silence. You can't say anything right now. You just got to be quiet and just take it. Like you normally don't. Oh, like all those dicks you shit. countless dicks you shit. You really need to go see that doctor, seriously. They need to do something.
Guys, can you just like continue this? Like, I mean, like, are we going to move on with the show? Or are you going to keep burning me? What's going
on? No, I want to sort of kind of just sit here and stare at you and give you evil eyes.
Yeah,
no.
No,
we weren't going to crucify you, you know.
I didn't have time to write anything, to be honest. I wanted to kill you, but...
Again, the excuse is school.
They're just afraid that I would have actually quit. That's what it comes down to.
Absolutely.
You weren't
going to
quit.
No, I just
this is your moment of fame. This is where you're famous. This is why you get dates every once in a while, right?
Yeah. And then they leave them.
I'm glad you found a place where men are always drunk enough to fuck you. Yay, partners. David, if you're listening to this right now, check the register tapes.
Oh, he does all the time. He knows I take money from him.
That's perfect.
No comment. Anyway, all right. Are we done with the roast?
I don't know. That
are
was
you
kind
roasted?
Of, I'm kind of disappointed.
I know. You should be.
Well, I don't know what else to say about you. I
mean, that's because...
Have you looked at him?
You know what this all comes down to is like, I'm just like that amazing. You guys can come up with shit.
No. Don't go there.
That's true. I envy every single person who's never met you.
And this is why we wanted him on.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no.
I just don't have it in me to be mean to someone.
You don't have it in you to do anything to anyone.
Valid.
Roast me, Chris. Mm-hmm. Say one nasty thing about me. See, you can't even roast me, and I'm an asshole.
You are.
He was a dick last week to me. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
Who was a dick to you last week?
Dave Hartman.
Oh. I thought you said I was. I was like, no.
No, I was.
David's worse than those police officers in the mall.
I don't like to be mean to people.
If I wanted any shit out of you, Tommy, I'd take my dick out of your ass.
Oh, well. You got to take it out of my mouth first.
Oh, yeah. Look, there's a difference. In smell.
It won't fit.
In what?
You know what my favorite part about our studio is?
Uh-huh.
Our stable Astroglide.
Oh, it's always there.
Yeah,
it's always
it's
there.
Always
are you
there.
Kidding me? I jerk off on his chair.
That's disgusting.
And then I just literally like throw it right on his chair and he sits on it week after week.
Yeah. Okay.
Chris, don't go too far because your chair has seen some action too. Actually, I've laid people on this desk.
Hey.
You've what?
We eat here.
I've laid people on this desk.
With which mic foam cover?
The one you're speaking in right now?
Oh.
Actually, that was put on as a nice little
That your mic cover was
cover.
White when you bought it.
It smells like pussy, I'm telling you right now.
That's because you opened your mouth.
No, it's because you did that whole transgendered month, right?
That's not nice, David.
I wasn't saying anything mean about transgendered people. I was saying things mean about you and your foamy mic covers.
They're there to protect the microphones.
What's there to protect my mouth?
So
I'm going to walk out of here with a clap.
So Tom got me a new microphone cover.
Uh-huh.
Because my microphone was covered in Bondo, as we all know.
In makeup.
So I show up and I'm like, this isn't my mic. What's going on? My face isn't on it. And he's like, I had to get you a new one.
Yeah.
Because it was covered in makeup?
There was so much bacteria on that microphone. It was like, the fact that he's even worried about who is laying where. To me, it's just like seriously, like not
did
even.
Did you get it back from Quest Diagnostics yet?
I sent it in, and they're still looking.
No, yeah. they
there's
said,
so much on that microphone.
Aren't
I'm
they
sure.
coming to pick me up or something? Put me in quarantine.
You should take some of the makeup and eat it.
They were told
you'd be beautiful on the inside too.
We were told.
It's not even on my papers.
We were told that she was not allowed to leave the room.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, she had to sleep with my dogs. The same ones that she blames that, you know, they took a shit and she stepped on.
Poor dogs.
But it was really her.
Stepping on their shit.
No, you took a shit and stepped on your own shit. And then
and
she
blamed it
on my
innocent
dogs.
Dogs.
Right? It's like, why do you do that? I'm like
the nerve.
I'm going to do to her what freaking Schmo does. I'm going to dig her a hole in the backyard and send her out there and say, go take a shit out there. Build you a little outhouse. Yeah. It's deep.
All right, are we done with this roast?
No,
we're just
done.
Like this is just falling apart, guys.
Oh, no.
You need to roast us. Say one thing about the three of us.
Try it.
Yeah, you have to have a rebuttal. You. Have you ever seen these things?
No,
me neither.
All right, so that concludes the roast of Trish. She's lucky we went light on her. Anyway,
you want a rebuttal?
Yeah.
Hmm.
All right.
I should tread lightly.
No, you should.
Because I was being nice.
Step right the fuck in it. Don't tread lightly.
You should, because, you know, all I can say is
I'll be honest. I'll be honest with you guys. There is a reason that that roast didn't go as roasty as I thought it was going to go. And that's because, let's be honest, if you roasted me too bad,
nothing would happen.
101 and done. I would have quit. The show would have fallen apart.
Absolutely not.
You wouldn't. Yeah, you can't pull this shit together without me. Let's be honest.
With my eyes closed.
Yeah.
That's all you, because my ass shows up and leaves on Monday. So I'm going to go ahead and side with Trish on this one.
We already know. But all I have to say is Snapchat.
You shut your fucking mouth. Mm-hmm. I told you, you could not bring that up on
air. Snapchat. So just tread lightly and be nice.
What's on Snapchat?
This show would not be the show it is if it weren't for me. If it weren't for Tom or Chris. Hello.
Thank you.
Isn't she so humble?
Because all I was going to say is they said the same thing about Paul Anthony, and she see where she is.
Mm-hmm. Paul Anthony doesn't, you know, do what I do, though.
Mm.
She does a lot more. Anyway.
Which is why she has every STD on Earth, but that's okay.
Isn't that what got us in trouble one time?
I'm kidding. She got her butthole reconstructed twice. Did she go see Dr. Goldstein?
No. He doesn't take state insurance. Joke's on me because I'm going on it now.
Oh, that's okay.
All right.
Listen, in all seriousness, you are an amazing person.
You are.
You really
and
are.
And we love you.
Oh, God, here it comes. No,
no, no. There's no more here it comes. I've gone through a fucking 5 pages of this shit, and I got nothing.
And like extra large,
I couldn't even use half of
print.
It. You know, I think, as we were talking outside, I think you should be the recipient of several awards from the gay community because you have been a stalwart in your support of this community. You are part of this community. You should get the award, you know, annual award there is to get. I think you're very deserving of that.
Oh.
Thank you,
you're
Dave.
Truly a wonderful person.
As are you.
Yeah. Really?
I mean, you're a dick, but.
Okay. Except for last week. When you sent her that text.
I was super emotional.
She lost it. Yeah, she emailed me. I'm like, I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole. You need to deal with that on your own.
You got to understand. I take provocation aggressively, and I thought I was being provoked because I was trying to be funny and nice, and I was called out.
Yeah, she had a rough week.
So, yeah.
She's had a rough
couple
every
weeks.
Day.
Well,
yeah.
She starts with waking up.
She wakes up and she's rough. Like, seriously, like she has to look at herself every morning and say, who the fuck
is that?
Oh, no,
I keep the lights off until after the shower. The steam helps with the puffiness.
She didn't wake up today.
Fucking and then exfoliating with a fucking sandblaster, I can imagine.
Right?
Deals with the shininess, right?
Yeah.
She needs a better sandblaster.
You know what's actually really funny? I recently started dating somebody, and then we broke up.
Oh, let's hear about the dick
and then
du jour.
We started sleeping again. I don't know what's going on, but he's great. But I'm super happy in a weird way. Uh-huh. But anyway, he started bringing over all of these face products. And I didn't really, I was super excited about it. I'm like, yes, this is great. Clinique and blah. Then I started thinking about it, and I'm like, why? Why is he bringing over all these face products?
Hint.
Because of your face.
I guess so. Like the first thing that he neglected to take home with him was an anti-puff fucking serum roller.
She's roasting herself now.
Take the
this
hint.
Is good.
Well, somebody's got to do it.
Go for it. So what do you do with that anti-puff?
It's my magic wand. I carry it around with me until I leave the house in the morning.
So you put it on your eyes and then you put it where else?
My eyes.
Because you have to put it on your butthole, too. Because, you know, you need to do something. You need to do something.
Botox on your butthole?
Yeah, you can. It's a thing. Dr. Goldstein told us.
Oh, he did say that. You're right. I thought you were just being...
No, I was being serious.
True. You're right. He did say that. The butt whisperer did say that.
Yeah.
I'm getting an ass lift.
Is it? So he's legit? Because on the way down to the basement here, I noticed like a gallon jug of turpentine on there. I hope
that's for her ass.
So you're not trying to bleach your fucking little brown pucker hole with that?
No, that's for Trish.
All right.
Well, I asked.
We gotta shove it up her ass and light her on fire, and hopefully she'll land somewhere safe.
I feel like this show...
Shave the bitch down and teach her to speak.
I feel like the second half of the show became the Idiots Radio Show.
It kind of did. We're all in a fucking place with no game plan. We're just y'all yelling in the mic. Like at the same time. Yeah, love you guys.
Who's
grab her
tonight?
By the pussy.
What?
And you'll get to the White House.
Hey, listen. Hello.
The producer.
All right. Let's move on. Done with the roast Trish. She's done. We threw her in the fireplace.
I feel like we disappointed a shit ton of fucking fans.
That's okay. I feel like you kind of did.
I thought it,
it's Trish's
it was funny.
Fault, though.
It's her fault.
It is.
She
it's
threatened
Trish's
us.
Fault.
She
did.
She said she would kill us if we got too crazy on her, and so we had to take
No,
it easy.
I did not threaten anybody.
Yes,
They're just afraid that I'm going to leave
You're
the show.
Lying, just like all that shit you took in my kitchen, and you blamed it on my dogs. But anyway, let's move on.
Let's just fucking close out this goddamn show.
All right. Well, Christopher, do you have anything that you'd like to say, or are we going home?
Vagina boob.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So we've got two things that we need to cover. First of all, it's our gay talk term. And of course, on this day in gay history. So I'm going to let Trish take one. Okay, you're done. Anyway, Christopher.
No, Trish got one. I'm
kidding. All right, everybody. So this week's gay talk term, of course, is brought to you by
UnicornBooty.com.
Not really. It's brought to you by Trish's ass. Go ahead.
Hopefully soon it'll be brought to you by Bespoke Surgical, but right now it's brought to you by UnicornBooty.com.
Not and really.
There was a pun in there.
Did you see the butt?
Yeah, a pun, right? They called it there.
This week's gay talk term is newspaper.
Newspaper?
Mm-hmm. Why newspaper is a bathroom wall with much graffiti scribbled on it.
It says scrawled.
Did you use your wall again as fucking paper?
No. Okay. I just thought that there was going to be a lot more of like
go for it.
Angsty stuff coming at me and like you know when you're like sitting in the bathroom and you're reading the wall and you're like, "Ooh, who's Bobby and what did he do to Michelle?" And like, you know, you read all that stuff, so I put in that was the gay talk term this week.
Newspaper. He went through Trish, that's what happened.
Mm-hmm. Hashtag glory hole with newspaper.
Hello.
Hello.
Christopher.
Oh, so we're going to do it on this day in gay history?
Yeah, do it. Go
Brought
for
to
it.
You by UnicornBooty.com.
Not really.
There it is. On this gay. Ah, damn it.
Cursive.
I made it so far.
On this gay. Everybody get on Chris. Chris, he's the gay.
Cursive. Come at me, bitch. So on this day in gay history.
I told you I was
history,
getting drunk today. You were supposed to burn me.
I know, but I was nervous. So on this day in gay history, brought to you, of course, by UnicornBooty.com. Where? Connecticut, February 5th. 1992, this bitch was born.
Lord have mercy.
The one from the app was super depressing.
That was
so
actually
was like,
the perfect gay talk on this day in gay history.
That's yeah. right.
How almost as much of a failure as your dad's condom.
Oh! Valid.
That's all right. I got a second dad. My mom remarried. So what, bitch?
Oh, she should have swallowed.
Oh my god!
I feel like the roast of Chris. It was more of the roast of Chris than it was of Trish.
And listen, he keeps talking to me.
That's my first mistake.
Reflex, all right?
David. Before we close the show, is there anything that you would like to say
on this day in gay history?
Uh huh.
I have no idea what happened.
No. I'm just saying, is there anything in general that you would like to say?
Yeah, I love the studio. I love all of you guys.
I love you
love
too.
It's
you.
Been wonderful being back here. I hope I get to come back again soon.
Honey, you have an open invitation. You can come here whenever you want.
I really don't like to come here.
I know. Have you seen the stove in the kitchen?
You can come here. Yeah.
Yes.
All over my face. I need a facial.
Yuck.
Yeah. Well, ask Trish where he
gets hell no. That's like toxic. Are you kidding me? That's the reason why we have turpentine upstairs.
I'm sure.
She needs to be detoxified.
Yeah. So, all right.
So
all
I,
right.
Wait,
what
I do
did
wanna,
you get
I
for
do,
Christmas?
I do want to say something.
Yeah.
Like on a serious note, I am in love. And I was in love with somebody for so many years who I still love. And now I have somebody new in my life. And I just want to say to David that you have made the last few months of my life amazing.
Oh.
And I'm just so absolutely happy. You give me butterflies every time I think of you.
Oh, David, yeah. All I have to say is just remember, he carries. Be nice.
Yeah. That's wonderful. Thanks.
No, I'm just saying, it's a beautiful thing. Just
there was
remember.
Like there was like this glimmer of like hope and positivity coming out of Dave, and it just went, be careful, he carries.
Like, I'm just saying, you
Welcome
know?
To Gay Talk. You can't keep things nice.
So can I say that I'm actually super happy for you too. You guys look adorable together.
They do. They do.
And I think he's great for you. I mean, like you've already, like you said earlier, like you're like,
yeah, she's like a new man.
Yeah, she's looks good.
Yeah. Oh, me, right?
Yeah, you look amazing.
Yeah. Okay, fuck. I'm like worried in this room.
No, you look amazing. You know?
There's not much worry. I mean, you called me Miss Piggy at this point. So
I didn't call you that. I called you Kung Fu Panda.
She's same difference. She's actually dating a triathlete.
Yeah.
And she's lost weight.
That's but you know, Dave, you've always looked amazing.
I know.
And I know.
On top of the fact,
take it easy there,
on top of the fact that you keep yourself, you try to keep yourself. Yeah, we all drink, we all eat, etc., whatever. We may skip the gym sometimes. I skip the gym all the time. But in the end, your heart is in the right place. You always take care of our community. You're always there for our community. You're always there for your friends, which is important. And one of the best things you could ever do in life. You know, to be there for yourself, be there for your friends, and be there for what you do.
And fall in love and allow yourself to fall in love.
Exactly, and that's important.
And so, if you're in New Haven and you do something wrong, you don't have to be the fastest person in the world. You just have to be able to outrun Dave.
Yeah.
Bitch. I haven't run after anybody. I don't run unless I'm being chased myself.
It's actually really funny. A couple weeks ago, but there was an event that happened near the bar, and the cops showed up, and Dave shows up. And the way he presents himself when he walks out of that car, it's like this stature, and it's just like a fucking serious strut. And I'm just like, he is hot as fuck right now. I don't know what it is, but every time he shows up, it's just like,
yeah, I don't know what it is.
It's like the sheriff in the West, you know, with the fucking belt buckle, and he's just holding it like, yeah.
I've only been dating him for a couple months. He probably wouldn't mind if we like took a turn here in the basement when everybody leaves, if you're into that.
You got to get that big belt buckle first.
I got it.
I'll clear out the mics and everything. You already have a bottle of lube. You won't need to go far.
No, I can't do that.
Yeah, okay.
Need lube. All right.
Anyway, it's time to bring this home. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you love our show, you can help us in one of three ways: to let others know about the show and to ensure that it becomes more visible within our podcasting community. David, you look like you want to say something.
No. Okay. I just really have to take a dump, and I wish you would hurry up.
The first one, let me go extra slow. I want that bitch shit in her pants. Subscribe to the show.
She's going to shit on your kitchen floor.
Yeah, it's my fault. It's my fault that I poop on the kitchen floor.
The first one
she
is,
won't shut up.
Subscribe to the show, girl.
Actually, now that she carpeted the place, I welcome you shitting on the floor.
I don't have to take a shit. I don't shit anymore. I'm in a new relationship. We haven't gotten to that part yet.
Give it time.
It can't happen. It's so fucking weird.
Oh, well, that's
you spend
thing.
All weekend there and you don't poop?
No, I like run to the 7-Eleven down the street.
I gotta go. I'll be right back.
I gotta get Band-Aids. What?
She's gotta like, you know. I can't. All right. Well, listen, you can subscribe to the show. By doing so, you can get the latest and greatest of our show delivered right to your favorite device or web browser as soon as the episode is published. You can also rate and review our show. You can do so on iTunes, on the Apple Podcast app, Google Play Music for Android listeners, as well as Stitcher Radio, Tuned In, Podbean, and all of your favorite podcasting apps. And lastly, you can support us on Patreon. I don't have to repeat what Patreon is. You guys already know. If you listen to the show every week, you know what it is. Christopher.
Okay, next week we welcome back the one, the only Jess Branis to the show.
Yes.
Yes, we always love having her on. She's a lot of fun. We're going to bring her on. She's going to give us the lowdown on all things love just in time for Valentine's Day.
Yes, Jess Branis. Shut up, damn it. We almost got by that mistake.
Yeah, we almost did.
Valentine's Day.
He let it go. He let it go. You looked at me. I thought I was in the clear.
No. Not happening. Go.
Thank you to our guest, Dave Hartman, for coming on and burning me and roasting me, kind of, sort of. Honestly, I felt like you guys just kind of lifted me up.
Oh, whatever. You're just too drunk. You had a whole fucking bottle of Prosecco.
No, I still have half the bottle left.
No, but you added OJ.
He actually just called you bottom Prosecco, not a bottle of Prosecco.
Sounds about right, honestly. Whatever. Sounds about right.
It's your new name.
But thank you. Dave, do you want to say anything or plug yourself?
No.
Okay, great. Moving on. Chris?
He's Dave.
Can we put a fucking rubber on this episode?
Yeah, sure.
Please?
Okay, sure. Butt plug, maybe?
Yeah, super busy.
Yeah.
Alrighty, guys. As always, our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com, under show and episodes. It is also available as a free download on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher Radio.
Nick screeches.
Nick announces. You can find us on social media, Facebook, Tom's an Asshole, Instagram, Tom's a Dick, Twitter, at Tom Being an Asshole, and you can email us at gaytalk2.0tomsadick.com.
Oh, you're going to get a big dick. All right. Anyway. All
right. No, but seriously, Facebook, gaytalk2.0, Instagram, gaytalk2.0, Twitter, at gaytalk20, email us at gaytalk2.0@gmail.com. Tom, take it away.
All right. And if you need to reach out to us, just visit our website, click on the Contact Us tab at the top of your web browser. You can leave comments, suggest topics. You can submit a question for the cast. You can also call us on our phone, 334-GAY-TALK. And if you need the numbers, it is 334-429-8255. Do not forget that we stream live every Monday night at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you can access that live stream by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been our pleasure. That is our show, and y'all have a good night.
Bye! Bye. Oh, you're not plugged in?
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more dish. Bye.